Holy God of Israel, we welcome you into this place. We minister our love and our worship to you this morning. We stand in awe of your great mercy. We stand in awe of your word, your precious word. We stand in awe of your great wisdom and your excellent power. We say, come and have your way in our hearts, in our midst, as we gather unto you today. Lord Jesus, we worship you, the Prince of the kings of the earth, the Governor among the nations, King of kings and Lord of lords. We worship you. We stand in awe of your great example. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Come and have your way in our hearts. Come and change us from one level of glory by the power of your word. And precious Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that gives life, we worship you, Holy One of Israel. We recognize that without you we can do nothing. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, come and help us as we go into the service. Come and empower, come and inspire, and come and direct our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So everything we do today will bring glory to the name of Jesus and blessings to us, the sons of men. We give you full sway to have your way in our lives and in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. We recognize you as the God unto whom all praise and worship is due. We give you pride of place. So go into your word. We recognize, I particularly recognize my limitations, my infirmities, my inability in myself alone to deliver this word as you would have it. So Father, I ask you for fresh mercy. Give me fresh unction from your throne. Anoint my heart and my lips. And as I open my mouth, Lord, you will make my mouth like a pen of a ready writer. Let your word come forth, Lord, like a stream of living water, bringing life, bringing strength, bringing hope. Lord, bringing, Lord, an impartation into our hearts and lives, so that, Lord, in this service, our wills will become more submitted to yours. Our minds will be more illuminated by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And our emotions will be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So an internal, eternal work will be established that will glorify you in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that as this word goes forth, Lord, let it come forth from you through me. Let me be a pure chalice, Lord, that I will speak only what you would have me say. I will not say my own words, but I will speak, Lord, as an oracle of God. And Lord, you will back your word, Lord, and cause yokes to be broken. You will cause blind eyes to be opened, deaf ears to be unstopped. And you will lift us up to a higher level of glory in the name of Jesus. I particularly come to submit myself, Lord, that you help me to be concise. Help me to be precise, not saying unnecessary things. Lord, always hearing you, learning of you as I minister, that I'll be as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing out of the treasures of this world things both old and new to the praise of your glory in Jesus' name. And also, Father, I come to doctrine. We're looking at the book of Colossians. Church is spiritual school, so in our last lesson we looked at verses 3 and 4, and we saw that Paul, who's an example of mature spiritual leadership, seeks the interest of the kingdom. He did not get the Colossians born again. He heard of their faith and he heard of their love. Bible says faith works by love, so he knew this was genuine, and then he just started praying for them. Amen. And we see from that really true mature spiritual leadership in the church have only one interest, the interest of the kingdom. Amen. And what is the interest of the kingdom? To build Christ into ordinary men and women in the name of Jesus. That's the will of God. We know that Jesus is the pattern son. And Pastor often tells us this, even said it again on Wednesday, that when Jesus was on the earth, he was not here as God. He was here as a man. Amen. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he did all those things he did as an example, as a pattern for us to follow. So God also wants to reproduce the nature of Christ, and by that nature build the character of Christ into us, so we can then inherit the glory of Christ. Amen. and then do the greater works that Christ wanted us to do and make disciples of all the nations. Amen. That's the will of God for us. That's the purpose of God. And that's what the interest of mature spiritual leadership in the church is. So basically, they do this by providing covering. What is covering? Covering is the power of God that is channeled to us through mature spiritual kings and princes in the church. And the purpose of that covering is to provide spiritual protection so that Satan will not be able to touch you. You will fulfill the number of your days. Amen. And then as you do that, supplement your spiritual nourishment and then build Christ into you. Amen. So we see that's the threefold purpose of covering. It ensures that you become who God has asked you to become. Amen. And who God created you to become. Also, we see that they do this apart from covering through intercession. They also do this by preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God. Amen. Emphasis on W-H-O-L-E. All right. No, not taking anything out. The whole counsel of God. And they do it with an apostolic and prophetic anointing. Amen. And that anointing is important because it is the one that establishes a strong foundation in you. And then we can then build on that foundation onto perfection. Amen. That's how they do it. It's by prayer and by the ministry of the word, you know, with an apostolic and prophetic anointing. And so we see that in our last lesson, there were two main points that we wanted to pass across. And the point was this. One, that true service as Christians begins with our spirits. Amen. The Bible talks in Romans chapter 1 verse 9. It says, my God, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's important. God, true service begins in the spirit because God is a spirit. And they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. So you can't serve. It's good to do works. We are created unto good works. But the real service begins from the spirit. Comes from the spirit. The power is from the spirit. The wisdom is from the spirit to then do the works. And we see that is manifest in spiritual growth. Amen. And the example we have is the example of Samuel. We know that Samuel lived in a time when the Bible says there was no open vision. So there was gross darkness. In the time of Samuel, there was darkness. Amen. And so Samuel, but the Bible says Samuel in verse 18, Samuel chapter 2 verse 18 says, Samuel ministered unto the Lord. While Hophni and Phinehas were busy doing the service alone and were even doing the wrong thing with the service, Samuel was ministering to God. Verse 26 says, and Samuel grew on in wisdom and in stature. The same thing that Jesus Christ did. So you see, God is not a respecter of persons. If you fulfill the conditions, you will get the exact same experience that Jesus promised. Amen. So God is not a liar. Amen. And we see that was the purpose of God. And God wants us to do the same thing. In this our generation, we should minister to the Lord. Amen. We should get to know the Lord in the place of intimacy and grow. And as we grow into the fullness of Christ, then God can do all he wants to do in and through us. Amen. That's one important lesson that we saw. And then second one is in the life of Anna, Samuel's mother. And we see that Anna submitted her need to the purpose of God. Amen. Okay. And we see that you, in this day, it's important to look beyond your physical need, beyond your personal need, and look to the purpose of God. Because the purpose of God includes your needs. In the purpose of God is your need being met. Amen. And we see that experiential in life of Anna. She didn't have a child. And she said, Lord, if you give me this child, I will give him to you. And God said, that's exactly what I want. I want a new breed. And so God answered the prayer. And she did not fail to fulfill her word. She did not go up with her husband. She said, I want to win him. And when she went up and she gave him up. And after that, God gave her even more children. So we see that in God, when we fulfill the purpose of God, we are able to be blessed to the degree that God wants us to bless. Amen. If you seek blessing, you will fall short of where God wants to take you to. But if you seek purpose, you will enter into the fullness of all that God has for you. Amen. Amen. So we're now going to verses 5 to 7. Let's Look at verse 5. First Colossians chapter 1 in verse 5. So let's read it together. Say, for the hope which is laid up for you. Let's read it from verse 4. Let's take it so you can have an understanding. All right. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Next verse. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Next verse. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Next verse. As you also, I can't hear you at the back, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Amen. We'll see where the Lord takes us. So going back to verse 5, we see here that Paul is saying that when you have heard of the word of the gospel, he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The true whole gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is designed to give us a hope. It's a hope, an expectation in heaven. Now, of course, the Bible says that, you know, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. So he's talking about heaven, where God lives. And then he's also talking about a hope in heaven. This heaven, between our two ears. Amen. There's a heaven right here. Apart from the heaven that is in heaven. So he's talking about a hope that when you hear the word of truth of the gospel, it should create in us a hope. That is God's purpose. Amen. Now, the word of God may sound strange. It may sound, hard sometimes. Because God does not pander to our emotions. God declares his counsel. And when you talk about the whole counsel of God, it is not man-centered. It is God-centered. It is not need-oriented. It is purpose-oriented. It is not entertainment-based. It is based on the truth of the gospel. So really, when you hear the word, the truth of the matter is that, brethren, when we hear the word sometimes, it sounds hard. But it's, behind it is love and mercy. To make that word become to create a hope in you, a picture that God wants to show you. Amen. My prayer is that as we share the word today, you will get a picture. And when you read the Bible by yourself, you will get a picture. We're not supposed to read the Bible just for reading's sake. Now, that's good in the sense that at least you get to read your Bible. But it must create a picture. Because God speaks to us in pictures. Pastor has taught us that. So when you see the picture, then it motivates you. Because that's what a hope does. The Bible says we are saved by hope. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, where it says we're saved by hope. Right, Romans 8, right, thank you. Let's read it together. For we are saved by, but hope that is seen is not hope. Talking about physical seeing. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? If you are seen, if all you live for is what you can see, what is the point? That's why this is an important point. God is saying that, for listen to him, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So you must hope for what you cannot see. So what you cannot see is spiritual. So your hope is primarily a spiritual hope that draws you closer and closer and takes you within the veil. Look at the next verse. But if we hope, let's read it together. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You see, hope in its in itself gives us strength. Strength to be patient. Strength to be consistent. That's what Samuel had. He had strength to remain the same in the midst of all the debauchery that was going on. He remained upright. He stood steadfast because of the hope. Amen. Now, what is this hope? Now, I've heard it in this house, but I think it's something that God is preaching and taking to the nations. Amen. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29. Let's read it together. Children, read with me. Say, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, he's defining the mystery now, which is, let's read together, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the hope is first the hope of glory, that Christ is in you in seed form. And that if you develop him, you will have him manifest in full maturity. That's the hope. And that hope draws you to him. Amen. Let's go to the next verse. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is right here. Perfection scripture. Nobody should tell you that you cannot be perfect. Nobody should say that we are men. Yes, we are men, but we are men who have the nature of Christ, and we are going to grow into perfection. Amen. That's what he's telling us. And remember, he says, warning every man. So it means God is expecting it of every man. That's why he says we preach it in all the world. God is expecting, that's why God is warning. God is warning. This is my syllabus. This is my syllabus. This is what I'm going to mark. This is what I'm going to mark. Don't do your own thing, oh. Do my own thing. Warning every man. Teaching every man. So when he has warned you, then you control yourself. Then you listen properly. Then he will teach you. The first thing is to arrest your attention. Warn you. Then the next thing is to teach you. And then he presents you perfect. Next verse. Amen. We give God the glory. Say, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So there is a power that is working in you. Amen. There is a power of God working in us mightily that helps us to labor, because it is spiritual labor to develop the Christ in you. So many times, and that's why you don't hear it as you ought to hear it all over the place, because there is a labor. There is a sacrifice. There is a price to pay. The Bible says, if any man will come after him, let him deny himself. There is a labor. Take up his cross. Daily. Thank you, sir. And follow me. Now, I'm following Jesus. I'm following you. Are you really following him? If you are following him, there is labor. You must do it daily. And do the labor. And when you do it, then Christ begins to dwell in you in greater and greater measures. Amen. The other aspect of hope that I would like us to see is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read it together. Say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Born again. Unto a lively hope. Lively hope there is old English. It's talking about a living hope. It is an expectation that is presently true. It is alive by the life of God in you. Alright? A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We also see that there is a hope of the resurrection. Who will you be in the world that is to come? It's a big question. You need to answer it now. Don't just hope that somehow it will sort itself out. That's why he's warning you. He's telling you that God has begotten us again. Getting born again is a beginning. It's not an end, though. It's a beginning to experience a lively hope by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That resurrection by the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the blood. It gave us the word. It gave us access to the spirit. And God is expecting that by using all those three tools, you also will experience a resurrection in this life. Amen. The Bible talks about it in Philippians chapter 3. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 10. This is your hope. Yes. Thank you, sir. Amplified. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. Amplified. Let's read it together. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and clearly. Amen. And that I may, in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness to his death in the hope. Next verse. In the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is possible to experience a resurrection. What is he talking about? That in your mind, you will be God. In your body, you will be God. Not just in your spirit alone. Now in our spirits, when we get born again, we are God. But where God wants to take us is the place where in your mind you are God. You become impervious to the flesh. You become dead to sin. You become dead to the impulses of the devil. Satan comes and he finds nothing in you. That's the resurrection he's talking about. If you express the resurrection here, then it is sure that you will fulfill the order and the glory of your resurrection. Brethren, there is an order. We are not all the same. One star differs from another star in glory. There is one glory of the sun. There is another glory of the moon. It's not the same. There's the glory of terrestrial. There's the glory of spiritual. And that is why we must have a hope from another star in glory. That's why when David was looking at the people in the world, the Bible says that his feet had almost slipped. He was discouraged. But when he went into the sanctuary, then God gave him a hope. And then he saw that God has set them in sleepy places. God will not set you in Jesus' name. God doesn't set anybody, really. We set ourselves, as you will see. Amen. Okay, so we see that it's the hope of glory and the hope of the resurrection. And so the word of God is balanced diet that God gives us. The truth of the gospel, what the Bible calls the word, Colossians chapter 1 verse 5, says the word of the truth of the gospel. It is balanced diet. That is, we are supposed to nourish us. What's balanced diet? My children tell me it is giving. It is having the right, the nutrients, important nutrients, in the right proportion to enable you to grow. Those are key words. If you don't mention nutrients, if you don't mention proportion, and you don't mention grow, you haven't gotten the definition. So this is the same thing. The word of truth and gospel is balanced diet that's supposed to make us grow. And if you remove some part of it, person will not be able to grow. And that now sets that person in sleepy places. Because when you start, the Bible says, "Seize my son to hear instruction that causes us to err from the words of truth." There are some things that we hear that causes us to err. Yeah, and we end up not in line with the will of God. We know it takes away from us, and we don't recognize it because we don't see afar off. Amen. So this is what God is doing. So that word of truth, many times, look at Revelation 10:10. Many times, when God sends us the word of truth, says, let's read it together. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and did what? Ate it up. And it was what? In my mouth. Sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. That's what the word of God does. It's sweet in your mouth. It's easy to confess. It's very easy to confess. I am love. I can do all these. Yes, I'm this, I'm that. But when it comes to the doing, you will die to self. But the same word, you know, it before it asks you to die. Look at what we read in Philippians. It will first of all give you a picture. Perceiving, recognizing, discerning. And then there's a power outflowing. It's when you have that revelation and the power, then the suffering is not a problem. Because there's an empowerment to enable you to go through it. Amen. But so God's not asking you to do what He has not already given you the provision to take care of. Amen. So it's important that we listen to the full gospel. Don't listen to prosperity alone. Don't listen to deliverance alone. Don't listen to motivational messages and emotional messages alone. They are bound in the body of Christ. Just emotional, you know, and success and you know, just sorry. Hype. You know, and it's not going to make you grow. And that's what God wants us to do. And if we don't grow, then we develop spiritual deformities. The same way a child that doesn't grow properly develops spiritual deformities. Kwashiorkor, marasmus, brain retardation. We know that the brain grows fast. It goes fast as the first 2 years of life. So in those first years of life, all you're eating is pap, 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 pap. That child will not be able to understand calculus. You know, how will you be able to understand calculus? How will you understand? These are complex ideas and manipulations. You need your neurons operating, you know, at top level, connecting synaptic, you know, at different levels. And they say calculus only, eh? Amen. It's important. So you need the right nutrition. The same way your parents and my parents gave us the right nutrition, so we are here today. It's the same way you must make sure that spiritually you're getting the right nutrition. Don't run away from the right nutrition. Hold on to it. Pay a price to get it. Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Otherwise, you can end up limited. Why limited? Limited in your degree of obedience. Limited in degree of godliness. There's some things that you can't just handle. It's too high for you. Bible says, wisdom is too high for a fool. He doesn't open his mouth in the gate. Anytime he opens his mouth, the gate is there. His mouth is there. He talks rubbish. And that, so he wants to. Why is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? Because the world would have prepared his heart, you see, to be able to get the wisdom and walk in it. But when he rejects the world, all he's doing on the outside, he will fall short. It's not good intentions. It is doing things according to the pattern by the Spirit through the Word of God. Amen. And we see, therefore, that it can disqualify us from the priesthood. If we look at Leviticus 21, verse 18 to 21. Leviticus 21, quick, 18 to 21. Leviticus 20. Thank you. Say, for whatsoever man. Let's read it together now. This is not your portion. Whatsoever man he be that had a blemish, he shall not what? Approach. A blind man or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose. See my nose. Alright. Or anything superfluous. Next verse. Or a man that is broken footed or broken handed. He's talking about spiritual requirements. He's using the physical to give you an insight into the spiritual. Don't be spiritually broken legged. Don't be brick brat. Don't be spiritually flat nosed. Very important. Next verse. Or a croc back. Or a dwarf. Dwarf means he didn't grow well. Stunted growth. He didn't grow well. Or he that had a blemish in his eye. No revelation. Cannot see afar off. Or be scurvy. Or scab. or has his stones broken, he doesn't have the power to reproduce the Christ. Brethren, it's serious. Oh, see the implications from just what you hear. Just from the what you feed on. Children, watch the music you listen to. It's very important. I know you love the tune. It's jumpy. I feel it too. But the truth of the matter is that I don't listen to that stuff. Why? Because the words are doing damage. The words are doing damage. The words are doing damage. It's the words. It's not the tune. It's the spirit. Yes, the words are spirit and death. It's not going to profit you. Everybody likes to listen to... There's nobody that doesn't like it. But when you hear the words, you put it away. Amen. A word for you. Amen. Right. So, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go back to the word. 1 Peter chapter 2. Give me 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 6 to 9. Thank you. Let's read it. But this is our portion. Amen. Alright. That's not... Wherefore also... It is contained where in the scripture, word of truth of the gospel. Behold, I lay in. How many of us are in Zion? Put up your hand. Just put it up. Put it up. Put it up. By faith. Say you are in Zion. Say you are in Zion. All right. By faith. All right. A chief cornerstone. That's Jesus. The full Jesus. Taking nothing out. Elect, precious, and he that believeth him shall not be confounded. There are many pitfalls, but you will not fall into any in Jesus' name. That's what he's saying. Next verse. Unto you therefore which believe. So it's important for us when we hear the word of the truth of gospel to submit to it and believe. Deliberately. Unto you that believe. He is what? Precious. But unto them which be disobedient. Or in the NIV it says unbelieving. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Next verse. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which what? Stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Who appointed them? They appointed themselves. God appointed that if you submit and believe the word of the gospel, you will not be confounded. If you disobey and don't accept it, you will stumble, it will be offended, and you will be disobedient. The choice is ours. So when you make a choice in your heart, you determine your destiny. You are appointed just by the choice you make. Nobody appointed you. You did it all by yourself. Amen. But we're going to be appointed unto glory in Jesus' name. So it's our response to the word that makes us chosen. Amen. It's your response to the word that makes you chosen. You just respond. If you fail to respond, guess what? You've responded. Don't play games with God. He's very smart. You cannot play this. I look for a middle line where there's no middle line. The Bible says who is on the Lord's side? It's in the heart. There is no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. So you cannot, don't play games. It's good to be honest, be forthright, and say, this is the truth of the word of God. I accept it. Amen. All right. Next, now, why is this important? Because submitting to God's word gives us access to eternal life through the Holy Spirit. That's very important. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Submitting to the word is key, and that's what we're talking about. 1 Peter 5:5. Alright, let's read it together. Say, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be what? Subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So we know that when we humble ourselves, God gives us grace. The Bible talks in 1 Peter chapter 3 about being heirs of the grace of life. So what, when you submit, what you really get is the grace that gives you life. That's what you get. And it's that life that now illuminates the word. And now get revelation knowledge. And you now perceive, you recognize, you now begin to see him that is invisible. You begin to see and understand what was in the mind of the Holy Spirit in different as you grow. Because there are levels of understanding. So you begin to grow. And Bible says progressively. Progressively. So you begin to grow. More light. More understanding. And then it motivates you more. And then you can be what God has to be. So this submitting to the word gives us access to eternal life. And it's that life that is coming from the life of God that is inside us. Amen. All right. So of course we know that. No, if you look at John 8:12, we won't turn there for time. But you know, talked about I am the light. No, it says. Let's read it. John 8:12. So I don't quote it. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in, but shall have the light of life. So we see that life is a substance. The Bible talks about it, the substance inside God that makes God God. John 5:26. That in that life is light. Amen. So, yes. So when you receive life, you now have that life working inside you. When the Holy Spirit breathes on it, you get light out of that life. And it illuminates the world. So you now see the truth of the word of the gospel. See, the word and the truth are the same, but the truth is a refined aspect of the word. As I talked about word of truth, they said thy word is truth. Yes, they are the same, but truth is inside the word, and the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. That's what he's sharing with us, so we can understand. Okay, so remember that truth is not always may not always make sense to you. It may not always make sense to you. The key is to accept it first. Is to submit to it first. That's the lesson that God is trying to teach us. We submit to it, then the Holy Spirit will respond to your faith and give you understanding. And a case in point is a good one. Jesus Christ said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And that's what we're saying now. Eat God's flesh and drink God's blood. And people went away. Ah! People got offended. What does it mean? Will we eat his flesh? Will we be drinking his blood? What kind of gory gospel that is this? It's cannibalism. I don't understand that. And they went away. And Jesus told the disciples that waited, said, why are you still here? Won't you go away? They didn't understand. Who? They did not understand. But they just stayed. They just stayed. Said, thou hast the word of life. To whom shall we go? So what is God saying? He's saying that everything doesn't start and end with your understanding. God moves beyond your understanding. My understanding. You have to trust. That's where faith is. That's where submission. So when you accept it in faith, then later you get understanding. And then you can, you know, understand what understanding establishes you. But wisdom is the principal thing. It's wisdom you meet first on the way. And then you make her your sister. Then understanding will now come and join you as a kinswoman. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Okay. Right. So what is God giving us understanding about here? He's giving us understanding about our inheritance. You need to have light from the word to see your inheritance. That your inheritance is not things. Your inheritance is who you become in God. It leads to things. It attracts things. You become a channel that you now, the Bible says, in you, the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's the word of God. But the key is not by amassing so many blessings that you now bless people. It's by becoming a blessing. Then the blessings follow you. Then you distribute. That's how it works. Amen. It's very important. And this light that God gives us, apart from seeing our inheritance, it enables us to recognize true godly leaders in the church. It is key to what is going on. That's why Bible talks about Epaphras, a faithful brother. Because you will look down on Epaphras if you are looking with the natural eyes. But if you see him the way God sees him, and you understand who he is in the spirit, then you give honor and reverence to Epaphras. And then you get more revelation and you grow more. Very important. So light is key. Now when somebody shows you something you never saw from the Bible, you stand in awe. She in your nisha. Like many revelations of the pastor. Man. Sir. Sometimes I don't know what to say. I just say, sir. And he's like, you know, but it encourages you. You know, it's like, I must get there. That's why God. So, but we need light. Everything in Christ operates with light. Our inheritance is in light. So the more light you have, the more you see your inheritance, the more you follow those who are leading you into your inheritance. Amen. And then the more you glorify God. Because when you bring forth fruit, that's why what he spoke about there in verse 5. He said, when you bring forth fruit, you glorify him. Look at John 15 verse 8. As we begin to talk about the how. It says, let's read together. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Listen to the Great Commission. That means that the Great Commission is to make all people bear fruit. All ethnos must bear fruit. That's just not making them disciples to be going to church. It's for them to bear fruit. In God's economy, that is what a disciple is. A disciple is one. So shall you be mine. So there are some disciples that are not his own. This Bible. This word. There are some disciples that are not God's disciples. He doesn't put his stamp on them and say, this is my own. You know, when you brand something, you put a brand on it. And people say, we see that brand. We see that brand. You know, just by the brand, you know. God doesn't put his brand on anybody. It's only disciples that are bringing forth fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. And their fruit remains. They are the ones that his stamp of approval is on. My prayer is that God will establish us in that place in Jesus' name. But we see that this is how it comes. It comes to the heart of submission to the word of God. Okay. So how do we do this? Let's look at John chapter 15. Just further down. We're already there. Let's start from verse 4. Let's read it together. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Next verse. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. So it's telling you how to get it. Much fruit. For without me, you can do. You need him in two ways. You need to plug in, abide in him, and you need him to be in you, too. You need both. You need connect. There's a macro connection, and there's a micro connection on the inside of the flow of the life of God. There's a connection on the outside with your heart. Then there's a flow on the inside by the life. That's when you bring forth fruit. If you don't connect those two ways, brethren, you will be around the vine, but not really in the vine. It's amazing. And then the Bible says, that's why he that abideth in me. So you can, it means that it's not a permanent position. It's dynamic. It depends on what you do. My prayer is that we'll do what we need to do in Jesus' name. Amen. But the key is that you abide. He that abideth, present continuous. Alright? So it's the present continuous. Let's look at the next verse. If a man abide not in me, now you understand by me that he doesn't make the effort to continue to abide. Because it's not a permanent thing. So if a man, he doesn't just one day,
a gradual thing. All right?
So if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. What does that mean? When you don't abide in him as you ought to, men have power over you. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is that natural, physical, human things have power over you. The Bible says, when the righteous falls for the wicked, he's as a corrupt fountain and as a troubled spring. Brethren, we can see the signs. When you are not abiding in him, you will know. The Bible says, for this cause many are weak. Things that are not supposed to be overcoming, they'll be dominating you. Appetites. Lust. Lust is not sexual. Food. Lust. TV. Lust. Football. Lust. There are many lusts. Any lust. Anything. Your work. Lust. Do your work for 6 hours. 8 hours. For 1 hour. You did, for 1 minute. You didn't think of. Father, I confess my sins. Jesus, my life. Just walked all through like that. Ouch. It affects me too. Alright, it affects me too. Sorry, but I'm trying to control it. You know, you stop, pause. How long will it take? One waste time. It doesn't waste any time. You just stop. Father, confess my sins. Jesus, I have life. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. Pray in the Spirit. Have mercy to be faithful. Pray in tongues. No, and that's it. And you continue your work. But just, is that independence? If it's shit to me, nobody can talk to me. I'll do it when I want. May God have mercy on us. Amen. So we can abide in him. But when you abide in him, then the work will not have power over you. You know, when, how does your work have power over you? It makes you weary. It makes you tired. It makes you feel as if you are serving the whole world and nobody appreciates you. Men are having power over you. Natural things should not. You can control it by the power of the Spirit. By ministering to God and growing. Amen. Next verse. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. How many people want that? You will ask what you will. Ha! Brethren, you will ask what you will. You know, but by that time, your will will have become his will. Amen. So you just ask, even without asking, God will just do it. The Bible says that when they heard of Samuel, they said that there is a prophet in this place, that his words do not fall to the ground. Just natural, ordinary people were saying it. They will say it about you in Jesus' name. Alright? The most commonly said. Verse 8. Let's go through it again. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. God wants us to bear much fruit. So how do we do this? Number one, cultivate an honest heart to the truth. Proverbs 4:1, let's write that down. My son, attend unto instruction. First thing to do is to obey instruction. Accept it, submit to it. Then your heart will be inclined unto understanding. Alright? Don't give excuses. Accept God's standard. Don't lower the standard. Don't. Always check that you're not lowering the standard. Depend more and more on him. Ask him to have mercy upon you. No matter how high the standard is, God have mercy. This is the standard. Don't lower it. God will take you there. He will take you there. But if you lower it, you get the impression that this one is easier. But that's not God's standard. And his approval will never be on it. Amen. Next one. Exercise humility. We looked at that in 1 Peter chapter 5. To do the will of God even when you don't feel like it. When it makes you lower than you think or know you are. You do it. Exercise it. It's an exercise. Pursue it in your daily interaction. Absolutely. Seniors, exercise humility to your juniors. I'm talking to the students now. It's not strange. If the junior is right and what they're saying is correct, you can only have more respect if you submit to it. You can never have less respect. It's not. Reputation and respect are not the same. Respect is God-given. The one where you come in and people stand up for you in their heart. That's respect.
Only God can give that. And but the one where I like you, when they need someone to counsel them, they know who to go to. They will never come to you. And I've seen that. The people that are not so popular, they are the people that the juniors, even they say they can't even come to me to come and ask me. They'll go and ask all people that you would never. So in terms of the children know. They know. They know the true people. And they know the fake. They enjoy the fake. But when they have a real problem, they know who to go to. So be real. Yes, thank you, sir. We are made manifest in your conscience. It's a conscience. So don't pander to popularity. Do what the Bible says. If someone says something that is correct, okay, I accept that. I accept that. You can only be more. It's not me, like Pastor was teaching last week. Meek is not foolish. It's not weak. Meek is strong. Meek is kingdom. Amen. I like what Pastor sent to us the other day. A beautiful thing. You said about invading Babylon. Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. And intimacy with Lord is my life source. It's important to know who we are and to live it out in our daily conduct. Amen. So honesty and humility in your daily conduct. 3, walk in the Spirit effectively. Okay, Mark 13:35. We know Pastor told us that once every 6 hours, at every opportunity and in every temptation, you confess your sins. Jesus, you clean with the blood. Then in Jesus' name we have life. No, Lord, have mercy on me as I pray. If it's the one you do every 6 hours is the Lord prayers, prayer on humility, prayer on wisdom, prayer on love. You do that once every 6 hours. But at every opportunity, Lord, have mercy on me to be faithful in this regard. Pray in the Spirit. And do that in every temptation. So you are cleaning your heart. You are forgiving others. You are washing feet at a frequency that is faster than Satan can bring temptation against you. You out maneuver the devil. You do it at a frequency that is faster than he can bring it. So when you see people, your heart will be clean. Doesn't matter what they do to you. When you see somebody and your heart goes, it's because there's some dirty there. When you put something under the carpet and you are stepping on it, you can tell that the carpet is not smooth. We can cover it with the carpet, but we know when we walk on it that there's something there. It manifests in your walk. When you are walking, you will know whether you are walking in truth, whether you are walking. So when you see that even the person doesn't know, go and walk on it. Father, I confess my sins. I confess their sins. In Jesus' name, I have life. I ask life for them. I pray in the Spirit. Do it frequently. Every, like Pastor said, every thought that the devil needs is an opportunity to thank God and to pray. And you pray him out of it. Before you know, your heart will be clear. There will be nothing there again. You will look back on. So people don't, so you forgive people at the rate faster than they can offend you. You become free. Free by the grace of God. Amen. So these first 3, cultivating an honest heart, walking in humility, walking in the Spirit, is abiding in him. Then you now listen to apostolic messages regularly and you read and study your Bible. That makes him abide in you. So you apostolic messages and you study them. Look, there's some weekly remnants. I go the first time I read it, I understand the English, but there's no picture. There is no picture. I say, strong meat. And I come back 2 days later. It's better. It's not like that again. Then I get the what, because Pastor Soto think what, why, how. So I get the what, I get the why. The how. Kuti. I leave it again. I come back again. So in about 4 days, I get it. Then I write a review. And when I'm writing my review, that tells you how far ahead the person that wrote it is to you. It takes you 1 week to understand what he said. But when you now write the review, as you are writing, always be telling you, write this one, add this one, give this example. Then you become, it's no longer what the person said, it's what the Holy Spirit said.
Amen. Brethren, so that's what God is telling us. Amen. He's teaching us that we should abide in Him so we can bring forth much fruit. Let us pray.
Stay here, Pastor K. Everybody, head bowed. The Lord has spoken to us very clearly this morning, and as Pastor Cooley was ministering, I just felt impressed to emphasize and amplify a few things that he said. Let me just get my notes. The first one is already in my heart, is God takes you beyond your senses. And I like the illustration Pastor Kunle used. When Jesus taught about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, it's a typical, it's a very, very good example. You will stumble if you operate in the flesh. How can he say, eat my flesh and drink my blood? And if you were around that day, this was 2,000 years ago, you probably would have stumbled. Majority of us would have stumbled. So what's this man saying? Remember, at that time, many people didn't even know that he was Messiah. He was just a rabbi, just like us today, just a pastor from Nazareth, not the most exciting place in Israel. He wasn't in Abuja, and he wasn't in Lagos, to use the equivalence for today. He's a rabbi. That guy said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, he was just a rabbi. That's how they saw him. So now a rabbi from Nazareth now tells you, eat my flesh and drink my blood. They look at God and say, this boy is mad. So it is today. There are many things God tells us that doesn't make sense to our senses. But there's something very important I want to bring out to us. That is as it should be. You know why? God is dealing in the realm of the spirit. And spiritual things are beyond your senses. So if you try to use your senses to reason out the word of God, you will fail. You will stumble. There is only one way to operate with God, by faith. So you have to accept what God has said, knowing that the reality and the fullness of it is in the realm of the spirit, and that with time, the Holy Spirit will give you light so you can see it. So long as you keep seeing with only these two eyes and hearing only with these ears, you will not be able to appreciate what God is saying, and you will certainly stumble if you try to reason it out with your mind alone. So always remember that spiritual things are beyond your senses. So you have to accept it by faith, trusting God's character and integrity, that God's not going to lie to me, he's not going to tell me something that's not. And then, you know, okay, I don't understand it now. And be honest about that and say, but with time. And that's why what Pastor Cooley also shared about the life and the light of life. The Bible says in him was life and life was the light of men. Light. You need light from the Holy Spirit. Illumination. Internal illumination. For spiritual things. They're there. But for them to become clearer to you. Another thing he shared that I would like to amplify and to say here is what he broke down by the help of the Holy Spirit of us abiding in him and he in us, and the fact that this thing is dynamic, it's not static. That's why you need the connection. You're in Christ, you're born again. But then you can be connected and then there's no flow. There has to be a constant flow of the life of God. And that's why it's a question of, you know, washing feet once every 6 hours, you know, acknowledging the Lord, you know, at every opportunity and in every temptation, you know, and what I added last week with your thoughts and actions. Then you're not only in him, but he's also in you. He's not in you as a person. He's in you with his life. He's in you with his power. You know, and that internal working continues to take place And then you develop in it. And you yourself will know. Like he said, you know, you will know God is inside you. He said, you know, know ye not that Jesus Christ you except you be reprobate? You will know. You will know this is beyond me. This is God who is working me. Then nobody can come and tell you tomorrow there is no God, or you don't believe in this, or you just laugh in their face. Because you have it on the inside. So, brethren, and then one other very important thing he talked about is in our inheritance. Our inheritance isn't a physical inheritance. It's not houses and cars and things like that. Unbelievers have that. If you're a good, successful unbeliever businessman, you buy a nice house, you know. No. Our inheritance is the spirit without measure that is given to us because we have grown spiritually and the Christ character has developed in us. That is our inheritance. Now, of course, like Pastor Kunle pointed out, it's going to bring all the other things. It will bring material and physical wealth beyond anything we have seen so far. I mentioned this last week. We haven't seen money yet, though. No. You will see it. So, let's bow to pray. Let your Christianity go beyond motivational messages and material things. What we've heard this morning is the real thing. It's God's life and nature in us, and the light and the wisdom that makes us more like God on the inside, and then brings all these other things on the outside and brings them to us. And determining your heart that you're going to be abide in him and he in you. You're going to pursue this hope
your heart, raise the hand to God. What a song.
I am a sacrifice.
Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. For this is your spiritual worship. Lift it up and the other hand on your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I am a sacrifice. That I am to abide in you and you in me by your life, your word, and your spirit. Oh God, oh God, I understand better. I have clearer understanding of this hope. Christ in me perfected the hope of glory. And this is what I will pursue all the days of my life. This is my purpose. Oh God, give me fresh mercy. Give me fresh grace to constantly pursue this hope and never stop until I realize it in this lifetime. In Jesus' name. Nekato fredenga. Librimi tasko fredeles. Ningratos. Vrenenzi kihiko.
In Jesus' name, you may be seated.